Your Bible's open, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The Lord was speaking to me today regarding signs following. Now, as the scriptures bring out that believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, right? Of course you believe in doctors. Luke himself, the author of the Gospel of Luke, or the one that penned it, I should say, and the book of Acts, was a physician. So God's not against doctors, and nobody as a believer ought to be against doctors, okay? There are times doctors are very necessary, and let me also say this to you. If from time to time you need to take a pill, hey, take it in faith, okay? Because first off, you don't know what's even in that pill. So take it in faith. Believe God for your health, your well-being. Now, ultimately, it's best if you don't have to take anything. I know that. Ultimately, it's the best if you never need to get healed. But God has provided, in and through the Word, healing. But He has also provided health. And you and I can walk in health, which is actually should be our goal. Amen. But signs following. As I'm thinking about the days leading up to the celebration of the birth of Christ. And let me just say, Jesus was not born in December. We know that, okay? Would have been in the fall, like Feast of Tabernacles time. So none of us were there, so we don't know exactly, but it wasn't December 25th. December 25th was a Roman festival and Feast of Saturnalia. And it was attached to pagan activity. And so when people became the church, received Christ, they just took their pagan holidays and attached Christian names and celebrations to it, which, you know, whatever. They were used to celebrating at that time as long as they were celebrating the right way and not getting into the pagan festivities and all that. I don't think God has a problem with a date, okay? Easter is based on the Feast of Ishtar, a Babylonian goddess who was the goddess of fertility, and there's a lot of junk attached to that. We know we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ at what is called Easter. I choose to call it Resurrection Day. But anyway, all that said, as we lead up to the celebration of the birth of Jesus, we have some stories in the Word that are very interesting, and yet, I mean, we can read just the historical account. Like tonight, we're going to talk about the Magi, the wise men, the Magid, G-I-D. You might call them the Magi, but it's actually Magi. But the fact is, we're going to talk about that and then show how we can apply what those men did in our lives today. And there should be some signs following us when we step out in faith obeying the Lord, okay? So I was thinking on that, and we're thinking about signs following them that believe, right? Okay, so you ought to have some signs following you, healings when you pray for people, answers to prayer of different degrees and regarding different situations, but there should be some results now and again, right? I mean, if you pray and believe God and you say you're believing God and you never, ever have a prayer answered, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect. So there should be some signs following you. The Bible is very plain. When you lay hands on the sick, it says they will recover. When you cast out devils, they'll leave. I don't share a lot about casting out of devils, but I have done plenty of that. And I don't go around looking for a devil behind every tree because that's just not the way it's supposed to be done. People get devil happy. And everything's a demon, you know. From the water heater malfunctioning in the house, that's a demon in the water heater. No, it's not. It's an old water heater that needs to be replaced. But people try to make things more spiritual than they are. And, you know, think there's always a demon in the middle of every appliance failure that you have or stuff with your cars. And I'm not saying the devil couldn't in some way infiltrate and do some of these crazy things, but for the most part, it's a neglect on our part to maintain what we have. And it's easy to blame it on the devil, you know. The old Flip Wilson thing, the devil made me do it, or the devil's behind it, you know. But anyway, I want to go into Matthew chapter 2 tonight. And let's go into, let's read from verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. That was in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. When he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. Underline that, lo, the star. In other words, there the star appeared, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So these wise men, these magi, if you will, but magi is the right way to pronounce that, were smart, wise men who also had great oratorical abilities. They could get up and you know, preach the wallpaper off the wall. But they were good with their words. And what I want you to see in this whole thing is that they didn't follow the star, okay? They were not following the star. The star came up as confirmation to them that they were on the right track. And that's literally how it happened. These magi, more than likely, they had read in the book of Daniel and knew about the holy city Jerusalem and the promised king of the Jews who was to come, you know, and had studied the scriptures. They were people that actually really studied and looked into what the prophets had to say. Now, what I want to caution you on is not to, in this account, make it a study of science, okay? Because frankly, I mean, I've seen some videos that get very in-depth, and the water gets so muddied. I'm not saying science is, you know, science will confirm things in the Word of God. But the Word of God is the authority, not science, okay? Some say, well, the Bible is so antiquated. Hold it. No, it's exactly the opposite. The Bible has the answers in the original language, and science, they find out about it and think that they've got something. I'm not coming down on science. I'm just telling you the Word of God was before any of this science that's out there. And there's nothing wrong with science, but the Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. So in here, these magi would study the scriptures. Now, tradition says that there were three wise men, right? Don't we have three up here? And, you know, the kings, right? Those are the three kings. We three kings from Orient are, right? Isn't that the song? Why are they saying three? Well, it's because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But it never says there were three guys. In fact, it was probably a train with a whole lot more than three wise men. Okay, so, and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but it doesn't, we are so foolish sometimes. It's like, well, okay, one little thing of gold, one little thing of incense, frankincense, one little container of myrrh. But these guys wouldn't do that for a king. They saddled up the camels, horses, whatever they were using, and traveling, probably pulling carts. There's no telling how much gold was on those carts. There's no telling how much myrrh and how much of the frankincense that actually was there, okay? Now, the gold that was given to Jesus was what financed his ministry, for crying out loud. Where did all that go? People are like, well, Jesus was a poor man. In order to be poor, you had to sin. The Bible says that the wage of sin is death. In order for the curse of the law, and poverty was under the curse, according to Deuteronomy 28, for that to happen, you had to sin. Did Jesus ever sin? Could Jesus have been poor? No. He didn't go around with kingly pomp and you know, acting like he was a big shot. He just was this carpenter's son. But trust me, he had every one of his needs met. And someone said, well, how come he had to tell Peter to go fishing to pay his taxes? Peter was struggling with, wouldn't that be kind of cool? Go fishing, and you know, you put your bait on there and you reel in a gold doubloon. I mean, come on, man. Pieces of eight, yeah. Hey, every time we've gone down to the Gulf of Mexico, you know, they say once in a while, gold doubloons will wash up on the seashore. And I'm like, man, would that not be cool? You know, it would be neat. But Jesus definitely was, Peter was struggling with his belief of supernatural things. And the Lord showed him, go. And the first fish that you catch, go into its mouth and grab the money to pay the taxes for both you and I. I mean, that's pretty cool. Amen? Okay, so these were spiritually minded men who knew the Savior was to be born, and so they came to worship. Now, there was enormous expense. I assume that the book of Daniel does say it. No, it's the book of Ezra. I take that back. Chapter 7, verse 9, that it took Ezra 4 months to make the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. So we're talking some time for him to get there, these wise men. And depending on how many of them were there, you know, it may have taken longer than that. Now, it says in verse 2 that they had seen a star in the east. You see that? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. Well, That star showed up as a point of confirmation to them. And every time they went, after they dealt with Herod, and they departed, and lo, the star, there it is again. Isn't it nice to have some markers show up along the way in your life that you're doing the right thing? Well, it seems like the minute I got into the Word and started living for the Lord, all hell broke loose. Well, you know, the devil's going to come against you here in the Word. The devil's going to come against you taking a stand for holiness. He's going to tempt you, test you, try you every which way to try to pull you off of the Word. But the fact is, hey, look, as you're doing the work of the Lord, there will be confirming signs along the way. You know, I mean, I've heard so many testimonies of people that say, you know, I wasn't even thinking about that. And I walked in and there was somebody that I knew and they decided to buy my groceries. You know, isn't that cool? I mean, that has happened so many times with people. And just little things along the roadway of your life. Again, signs should follow those who believe. What signs are following you tonight? Are there any signs following you? Are there confirming signs? This confirming sign for the wise men, the Magi, was this star. And every time that they stepped out, there it was again. And they're going, yeah, we're on the right track. They made a long trek. And they're bringing a lot of money, a lot of expensive spices. The risk of being robbed was great. They had to have people that would be security for them as well. I mean, just use a little bit of a thought in the process. I mean, they were coming a long distance, traveling through the desert. There were bandits. There still are. And these guys were heading out, and they were like, are we even on the right track? Are we interpreting this stuff properly? And again, make this story about, in your thoughts, about obeying God, studying the scriptures, and the Lord will confirm his word with signs following. When you're on the right path and doing the right things, there will be scriptural confirmation along the way. And that's what was happening here with these Magi. So, of course, they were warned in a dream not to go back and even talk to Herod. And that made him mad. Y'all remember the story, what he did? Had all the babies killed. Two and down, right? Two and under. So, it was the slaying of the infants again. Horrible thing. So they had, you know, some understanding of the scriptures, but I don't want you in this story to magnify the star. Don't magnify the star. Don't think it's all about the star. It's about these guys obeying God. It's about them studying the scriptures and heading out on the revelation that they had in their heart. And they took a big risk doing this. And the Lord knew it was going to take some confirmation for them along the way. So he's confirming it. He's confirming it. Isn't it nice to know when you're driving? How many of y'all have been on a long trip and you're going in a place you've never been before and you go a long distance and you don't see any signs? That's a little different now because you have the GPS and you can, you know, do things. But I remember years ago, Ann and I going to Corpus Christi. And at that time, after you left San Antone, when you left San Antone, headed south, I think it was Highway 37, maybe 35, 37. I think it was 37. you had a stretch of about 100 miles where there was nothing. I mean, we're talking a long time ago. And anyone ever been down that way? There maybe one gas station that we saw. So we filled up, of course, before we left San Antone, knowing we had 100, 120 miles to go. And it was crazy. It's like, are we on the right road? It looks like we're on the wrong. And all of a sudden, you'd see a sign. And you go, yeah, we're on the right road. No phones, nothing. You get stranded out there, you're walking. You know, we are really spoiled these days. And these guys, they didn't have any of those luxuries at all. And the last time we went to Corpus, it's all built up now. There's gas stations and restaurants and every, you know, it's all expanding. So, but I remember that first time, I was like, where are we going? And this just doesn't seem right. But anyway. All right, so as we look at the word and we're talking about obeying God, what has the Lord told you to do? What is the Lord speaking to you? Whatever he tells you to do, you know, the scripture Mary told them at in John 2 about the wedding feast at Cana. Whatever he says, that's what Mary, Jesus' mother, said. Whatever he says to do, do it, right? And I will say that to you tonight. If the Lord has told you to do something, you need to do it. And along the way of stepping out to do that, there will be some confirming signs. Before I ever went into the ministry, I knew that I needed to have it confirmed by somebody who knew the Lord way more than I did. And so we'd go to places and Pastor John would get up and sing. I remember Dave Roberson. Some of you guys know who Dave Roberson is. And Dave Roberson pointed Pastor John out and said, the Lord's got a call on you. You're going to minister with music and song, and you're going to minister to blah, 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 blah. And everywhere we'd go, somebody would call him out and confirm the calling on his life. And I'm sitting here going, I know I'm called. It was like 5-0, you know. He's getting all of them, and I'm going, all right, Lord. What's the deal here, you know? What is the deal? And then one by one, confirmations came. What does the Bible say? That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established? It's in 2 Corinthians, what I think, verse chapter 13. But so then, you know, it happened. But confirming signs are really comforting because we are just normal, natural people. And we need some things to show us that we're going the right way. Amen? Have you ever doubted your Christianity? Not necessarily that Jesus is God in the flesh. You know, I know in order to be saved, you need to know that he's deity in the flesh and all that. and receive him into your heart as Lord and Savior. But I don't mean doubting that. I mean doubting the strictness, if you will, of your walk. Do I have to be so strict about my walk? And there are times that people will begin to feel like maybe I'm being a little too strict about all of this. Well, let me tell you this. You open a little bit of a door for looseness in your life, the devil will rush through it. Trust me, he will. I've seen many a Christian start to get into the Word, start to proceed in the things of God, study the Word, begin to get turned on about the things of the Lord, and they got disgusted because they weren't seeing signs following. And they turned around and went back into the world, back into the bars, back into the scene that they came out of. And so the Lord wants to confirm his word, and those are encouraging things when he confirms his word. But you still have to walk in faith in order to see any confirmation. They walked in faith. They set out and they walked in faith, and they're like, okay, we're going to head this way. Here's what we see in the scriptures. He's to be born over there, so we're going to go. Well, that's kind of an interesting travel plan, amen? We're just going to go, and where are you going to go? Well, we're going to end up over there, somewhere, right, exactly. So as I said, the star did not lead the wise men. Go over to Mark chapter 16. You know this verse of scripture, but I want you to see it. It's what we've been talking about. You know, you see the things on like cups, wise men still seek him. And that's true. It is true. And if you're smart, you will be seeking the face of God. And I will tell you this. When you seek him, he will be found of you. It says it in a number of places in the Old Testament. When you seek his face, he will be found of you. He's not hiding on you, okay? He is not trying to hide from you. He's not trying to hold back any displays of his almightiness. He is not trying to do horrible things in your life to draw you closer to him. He's a good God. He loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, which we are celebrating his birth at this time of the year. And as you receive Christ into your heart and had fellowship and begin to have fellowship with him, oh, my. The confirmation and the confirming signs will begin. I remember when I was first saved and I laid hands on somebody for prayer. And I didn't really know. I mean, we were in a place and this person needed prayer. And I didn't know how to pray. But I knew that I loved the Lord and I knew that I believed God would, if we would lay hands on the sick, the Bible says they'll recover. And this individual got healed. I was as surprised as they were. You know what I'm saying? When somebody would get healed. Now I'm surprised when they don't. Amen? Yeah, well, Pastor, you know, sometimes God says no. That's not scriptural. The promises of God in him are yes, and they are amen. Amen. Mark chapter 16, look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with. Now, them is in the King James, but it's in italics, and that means it's not there in the original. So it reads this way, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following, amen. He's always going to work with the word that you're standing on. On Sunday, a platform for your faith, right? We talked about a platform for your faith. You have to have a promise to stand on. These guys had a promise in the Word of God, or at least they had scriptural evidence that this is what the prophets were saying, that the Messiah will be born. And they looked in Daniel. It was like 69 weeks from the time when Jerusalem was rebuilt under Nehemiah. And that calculated to that time. And so they did their calculations. They figured what they saw in the scriptures, and they headed out. Well, he's going to always work with his word. And you have to have a scripture to stand on if you're ever going to have any faith to receive from the Lord. Amen. Amen. So the star did not lead them, but they were a group of people who actually trusted God based on revelation from the word. So I love this because it really speaks to us in our lives as believers. Because if you've ever set out to do anything for the Lord, There are some unknowns. I will guarantee you there are some unknowns. Okay? And along the way, when we started this church, I was talking to somebody the other day. When we started this church, I mean, we didn't have very much. I think we started it with $1,000. And little by little, the Lord added to our number. Little by little, the income would come up. And there's a lot of unknowns. You set out to build a building, not only this one, but then that one. And we have no denomination behind us. There has to be some confirmation happening along the way. Come on, you with me? There has to be some confirmation, and the confirmation has come many, many, many times. You know, this building's paid for. That one is over half paid for. I think it's down, I think we still have about 150 on that building, maybe somewhere in that zone. But that's a $500,000 building, you guys. The Lord is good. And how many people have gotten healed in this church? So I said, well, we don't have as many salvations as some churches. Well, you know, that's probably true. But we have a lot of healings that happen here. So I think that from church to church, you know, some preach only salvation. We'll get them saved over there and send them over here. We'll teach them how to take the word and use the word. Yeah, I'm serious.
Hallelujah.
Believe God.
Yeah.
Amen. So, all right, well, you guys look like you're ready to go home. It is hot in here. Austin, turn the air down. Oh, no, it's not. Nick, this is what I go through every week, just so you know. This is... Roll up your sleeves, Pastor Dan. Yeah, okay. So, what did they do after they found Jesus? Well, they gave gifts unto the king. They worshiped the Son of God. They worshiped him. They brought the gold. Gold is universal money, y'all. I mean, you know, you could go to another country. These are gold rings I have on. You take them off, and they'll give you whatever the value is in that place. Yeah, melt them down, right? But gold is a universal money. It's a tribute that is fit for a king. That's why I'm telling you this. The Lord set this up. The Father set it up so that his Son in the earth, who would come and live a sinless, spotless life, would have his needs met. Don't you ever think God doesn't want you to have your needs met. He does want you to have your needs met. He doesn't want you getting greedy about it. There's nothing wrong with having money. The problem is the love of money. That's the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, what, verse 10. So there are plenty of people who don't have a dime, two dimes to rub together, that are committing that sin. They love money so much they'll kill for it. Rob a person to get 20 bucks. So the truth of the matter is you can have and you should have great blessings in your life. Just don't let the blessings have you. Just don't be ruled by the money. Don't be ruled by the things. I was telling the mail lady yesterday, she came up and drove up to the mailbox, and I saw her come up the road, so I walked out there and stood by the mailbox, and then she didn't come and didn't come and didn't come. I'm like, what are you doing? You're just up in the cul-de-sac. Where, you know, what's going on? Finally, she came down there, and I'm like, okay. So we started talking, and she said, well, how's your church going? And I said, well, it's going well. You know, we're open and everything, and Lord blesses and takes care of us, and things are going well, and she started talking to me about not having, you know, there's too many Christians running around with too much stuff. And I said, hey, look, you know, it's amazing when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things that the world's going after somehow end up in your house, in your yard. And I said, I'm not apologizing for having a nice home and everything, you know. I said, the Lord blesses us, and one of the things we do is we give a lot. We want to give. We want to help people. We do that. So I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed for being blessed? I mean, don't let the devil shame you into being, you know, because you're blessed, that for some reason or another you have stuff, you're bound to be evil. No. Hold it. You can love the Lord your God. Put him first place. He'll pile it on you, man. He will increase it in your life. But if you're living for the things, that isn't going to work. That is not going to work. So love the Lord, don't love the money. When you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll take care of you and he will bless you with stuff that you didn't even ask for. Amen. We've had some blessings in our lives. I'm talking about Ann and I, and now Austin has had some blessings happen that would just roll your socks up and down if you knew about it. I'm not going to tell you, so your socks will stay where they're supposed to be, you know. But the Lord has been really good, and it was like, where did that come from? How did that just out of the blue happen? And we're talking some really serious blessings that we haven't shared with you, and we're not going to. But sorry about that. There's some things I can't share. But, you know, all I'm saying is that when you serve God, he'll put it on you. If he knows he can trust you, if he says, then take that and give it to somebody, take that money that I blessed you with and use it over here, that's the key to prosperity. Jesus was set up here for his ministry in the earth, which would last 33 years. That's where that gold went. Then this frankincense. Frankincense was a type in the scriptures of prayer and praise offered unto the Lord. And frankincense was never used or allowed to be used under the Mosaic law for any secular purposes. That's why I'm telling you, this stuff was all given in worship of the king. The myrrh, that's a bitter spice, and it reminds us of what they wrapped the body of Jesus with, literally, when he was buried. But it also reminds us of the bitter spices used in the Passover supper. So there's some parallels and some types and so on in that. But anyway, let it suffice to say, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he is born again in us. When you receive Jesus into your heart, I know you received that, you were born again, but his birth happens all over in us, literally, when we receive him, and we are made new creations in Christ, and our sins are forgiven, and we're on a road to a wonderful, wonderful future. Bob Hannes' mom went home to be with Jesus yesterday. Some of you know that, and I promised him that we would pray. I talked with him today, and he's got a miracle testimony, Bob does. He was that close to, I mean, the leukemia that he had, and I say had, his uncle is a pathologist, and he said, I've never seen anybody with numbers like you had survive. His blast count was 14. 18 is seriously acute cancer. It was 14, and now it's down to zero. He's put back on. He was down to 123 pounds, and now he's 150 again. And he said, I didn't even really try. I said, well, just don't let it go the other way where you turn a little fat boy again, you know. So, but he said his mama had wanted to go home, and she had been diagnosed with something a year ago, but she slipped over into glory yesterday morning, and the whole family had been there, and I mean all the siblings, Bob's siblings, the great grandchildren, their wives. It was a big family reunion, and she was able to say her goodbyes. So, Father, strengthen Bob tonight and comfort the Hannes family. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and give you glory this night for your what you're doing in Bob. And Lord, I thank you that Fran is with Bob Sr., and the family is full of the peace of Jesus Christ. We do agree for that and thank you for it, sir, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you all agree, say amen. Amen. So go ahead, stand to your feet. So are you seeking the Lord daily? That's the question that has to be asked. Are you seeking him? Or do you get caught up in trying to figure things out in your life kind of by the seat of your pants? You know what I mean by that? You try to do it on your own without seeking him. Today, I spent some time in my, what am I doing with this? I don't need this. My recliner, and I was really, really, seriously just whapped out. You know what I mean by that? Just very, very tired. I have had a couple of nights in a row where I didn't get the kind of rest I needed, and I was like, I've got to lay down and take a nap, and so I did. And do you know, I got about 15 minutes, and I had phone calls starting to come from people that actually needed me to pray with them and talk to them, but I feel energized again. Now, I am going to go to bed a little earlier tonight, I will tell you that, but anyway, praise God. Come on, bow your head with me, and let's go before the Lord. Are you seeking him? And the point of that story, me telling you that, was I was seeking the face of the Lord, and I was listening to the scriptures, and I was listening to the word, and just letting that minister to me. And man, it was great. And the Spirit of God moved in my heart, and it was able to move in the lives of the people that I prayed with, and it was a good time. So I kind of had some ministry from my chair in the living room at the house, which was good. I needed the rest. I really did. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. We give you glory tonight for your word. We thank you for this story of the wise men, how they had a revelation and set out to obey you. And Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the example of these magi, that they actually took the word, studied it, saw the revelation, and put feet to their faith. And Lord, the story has gone down in history, and everybody knows about the wise men. Now, Father, we just praise you and thank you that same heart attitude of seeking after you and expecting confirming signs along the road of life, Lord God, to occur as we continue to put you first. We bless you tonight and give you glory in the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, y'all. Can you agree on that? If you do, please say amen.